In 1 John 4:7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." And I can't think of a more relevant and needed plea in the days that we're living in. Dear friends, let us love one another. And this plea for us to love one another, it's not conditional. It doesn't say let us love one another if we share the same political point of view, or if I'm attracted to you, or if you respect me, affirm me, you're nice to me. It simply says, dear friends, let us love one another. And let's be clear that this is not talking about a romantic love, an attraction to another person, or even necessarily liking the other person. This is agape love, which is a selfless giving of oneself for the good of the other. It is not a feeling, but a choice and an action. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we lit the hope candle on the first Sunday of Advent. We lit the peace candle on the second Sunday. We lit the joy candle last Sunday on the third Sunday. And then today we're going to light the love candle or the angel candle. And because we're not going to be gathering here on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, we're also going to light the Christ candle, which is the white one in the center of the Advent wreath. Love. God's love for us is what motivated him to give his precious son Jesus for us. And God's love exemplified in the giving of his son is the motivation for our own love to be given to each other. I want to take a look at a passage in the letter of 1 John today as we reflect on love. If you have your Bible, you can flip over to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be again, reading in verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." You might remember the story about John when he was an old man, the person who wrote this letter. John was known as the apostle of love because he was so centered on this idea of the people in the church loving one another. It's said that when John was very old, no longer able to walk without assistance of others, having to actually be physically carried to the church gatherings, he was known to repeat the same words to the believers again and again. He would say, "Little children, love one another. Little children, love one another." This was John's continual plea for all followers of Jesus, all Christians of all stripes and flavors. Let us love one another. And he includes himself using the word us. John recognized his own obligation to love as much as anyone else's. And this was not a new idea with John. He learned it from Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in John 13, 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another." He says, love comes from God. Love is the source of agape love, the originator of love, and the reservoir from which our love comes from. He says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I don't know if you ever noticed, but people from the same family, they can share, and they do share common physical and behavioral traits. Whew, that's a difficult word for me to say today for some reason. There are recognizable physical qualities in a family. Certain features of a mother's appearance may be seen in her daughter. A son's body type may be similar to his dad's. Behavioral traits are also shared. A daughter may have the same walk as her father. A son may have a personality like his mother. A daughter's laugh may be very much like her mother's laugh. The children of God share his traits too. They inherit their father's characteristics. Our heavenly father is characterized by love, and his children are to be characterized by love as well. Everyone who loves has been born of God and is known by God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love, he tells us in verse 8. And conversely, so those who do not love show themselves to not be God's children. They don't have the heredity traits of their Heavenly Father. The DNA doesn't match, so to speak. Because God is love, it says. And it's important to note here, when it says because God is love, that it doesn't say love is God. There are people who have made love into a God based on the numbers of songs and poems and stories and paintings and movies and TV shows about romantic love. It would be understandable if an alien visiting our planet were to come to the conclusion that we worship love as a God, but that is not what John is saying. John is not saying that love is God. Instead, John says that love is a fundamental part of God's character, of who God is, of how he interacts with us. Verse 9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In these verses, we're given a beautiful description of God's love, agape love. This is how God showed his love among us. The first thing to note is that God showed his love to us in a tangible, real, meaningful way. He didn't just tell us he loves us. He showed us. He spoke to us through actions and not just words. This is a definition of love by demonstration. It's said that show me is always more effective than tell me. Someone can give us a detailed explanation of something. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. But then they show us through demonstration. We go, ah, I get it. Now I understand. And God has demonstrated his love for us. He has shown us, not just told us. It says he sent his one and only Son. The Greek word translated one and only, it means unique, one of a kind, the only one. God the Father gave his precious, beloved, unique, one of a kind, only Son to us. After becoming a parent, those words took on a deeper meaning for me. I would give up my own life before I would ever give up the life of one of my children. I think most parents would share my heart on that. The idea of giving up one of my children for someone else is unthinkable to me. And God has done the unthinkable for us, giving his Son. It says he gave his Son to us. He gave his Son into the world. The infinite God entered finite time and space, taking on the limitations of humanity. God didn't enter into a pristine, unsoiled world like some carefully controlled scientific experiment in a laboratory. Instead, he entered into the riot of humanity's sin, damaged, broken world filled with war and disease and heartbreak and chaos and conflict. He was born as a human being into poverty under questionable moral circumstances in a tiny town in a small oppressed country. He owned nothing but the clothes on his back. He was misunderstood, rejected, betrayed by his family and friends. He died a criminal's death. He didn't just enter into our world. He experienced this world firsthand, the difficult, ugly, hard part of this world. And why did he do it? Well, it tells us in verse 9 here that we might live through him. The Lord was not on some kind of crazy adventure mission for his own kicks, like he was doing some kind of reality TV show. It wasn't like he goes, here I am on planet Earth, the most forbidding, broken, messed up place in this corner of the Milky Way galaxy. I want to see what it is like firsthand, to see if I can survive it, to start my journey. I've been dropped off in a small town in Israel called Bethlehem, naked and with no supplies of any kind. I need to find food, water, and shelter quickly if I have any chance of surviving through the night. God versus wild. God came for our benefit, not his. It was a selfless, generous act on his part. He came to give us life. Verse 10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God's the initiator of this relationship. He sought us out. He made the first move. He extended his hand to us. He reached toward us. He loved us in spite of our rebellion, our lack of interest, our arrogance, our determination to do otherwise. God loving us and reaching out to us was not a show of weakness, but the very opposite. It takes great strength to put aside your rights in order to reconcile with those who have wronged you. God has every right to annihilate us for what we've done to him, to one another, to this planet. But he chose to seek reconciliation with us instead. And he knew we were powerless to do what would be necessary for reconciliation to take place. He did what was needed for us. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. His son, Jesus, became a human being and did for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. He atoned for our sins with his own life blood, making it possible for the guilty to go free. Verse 11, it says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. With the sacrificial love of God for us as an example, we're encouraged to love one another in the same way. The reasonable and proper response to love God, or response to the love that God has shown us through him giving his son, is for us to love back in the same way. And not literally dying on the cross of crucifixion as a sin sacrifice for one another, but putting the needs of one another before our own. 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, us loving one another, it makes the invisible God visible, the untouchable God touchable, the inaudible God audible. Do you see yourself as a representative of God in that way? When you extend love to others, you're helping to bring God into view for them. Your acts of kindness, your touches of assurance, your words of encouragement. You are one of the ways that God loves others. He loves others through you and me. His love is made complete in us, it tells us. There's a completing process that takes place in us when the love of God flows through us to others. We are completed, we're matured, we're finished, we're perfected, we are fulfilling our purpose. Think about this idea of God loving through us, his love flowing through us for a moment. See, God is the source of love, the love we have for others, it comes from God. His love flows through us to them. And unless his love flows through us to others, we're not fulfilling our purpose and the purpose of God's love in us. His love is not complete in us unless it flows through us. I've used this illustration before, but think about it like this, that we are to be like a stream rather than a pond. The water that flows through a stream is fresh and it's full of life and vitality and it continues on to benefit what's downstream. The water that flows into a pond, in contrast, it stays there and it goes stagnant. It starts smelling bad. The bottom gets covered with slime. Scum floats on the surface. The kind of life that's produced in a stagnant pond is very different from the kind of life produced by a stream. The love of God, it needs to flow through us for it to produce the kind of life that's intended in us and in others. God's love is not doing its thing in us or in others unless it's shared. There's an infinite source of love from God. There's no reason to hang on to it and refuse to pass that love along to others. It will never run out. And the more we love others, the more we share that love, the more his love flows into us and through us. When we don't love others, we're like a stagnant pond where the slime and the scum grow. Pass his love on. Be a stream rather than a pond. In closing, I want to bring us back to the opening words of this passage that we began with today. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Let us remember how much God loves us. And let that be our inspiration and our motivation for loving each other. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer for a second. Father, we thank you for this reminder and this challenge that we're given, the reminder of all the amazing love that you've shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that that love that you have exemplified for us through Jesus would be our motivator and our example to follow in us loving others. Lord, we ask for your strengthening and for your enabling to do that. I ask you would bless each one here today in the name of Christ. Amen.